This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This guy, I couldn't be happier. He's a great cat, a great cop, done a lot of good work in his world. And, the world got weird a couple years ago, and they canceled a great TV show, man. It was really, Live PD, PD Cam was on fire, mm-hmm. and he was a great host. And we talked about it many times that, you know, cops, you know, were taking a real beating in the news. And a lot of it was rightfully so. Not all police. It was an incredibly small amount of police officers, but you know how it is. When it's all you see on the news, it's what you believe. Why I do believe police officers have always had to be held to higher standards, and they have to be the best of the best. Sometimes bad ones get through, and we saw that. And there's no denying it. It's what happens. But it's not 99.9% of those officers out there are just underpaid people who have a very specific character, and that is to protect others. And they give of themselves, and they put themselves in a line, and they risk everything, and they risk their you know, going home to their families at night. And I'm a huge fan. I just am, and undeniably. Mm-hmm. But again, you have to be honest about it. We saw what happened with Floyd. We saw the cameras where cops, bad ones, were mm-hmm. shooting people in the back. It happened. To that end, this showed what it's really like to be a cop. When they were doing Live PD and they were doing PD Cam, it showed everything that a cop goes through every day. The guys you meet on the street, he was part of the gang unit, the gang guys you know, the fact that maybe I'm not so worried about the fact you have a 40 open sitting there next to you, mm-hmm. but I am interested in, hey, do you know that somebody, maybe something truly devastating to innocent people is going to happen? Maybe we talk about that. The negotiations and the friendships, the relationships, and what it takes to be a good police officer, to be a part of your community, to not just be a stormtrooper, but to be a guy who is loved but respected as well. It's a fine line, and we saw that when they took that show off. It was just a heartbreaker, and now in just a few weeks, a couple months, they literally go instantly to the most watched show on cable TV.
Born December 7th in California, our next guest is a retired lieutenant in the Tulsa, Oklahoma Police Department who, over the course of his nearly 25-year career, worked as a gang unit supervisor, eventually becoming a reality television sensation as part of the ratings juggernaut that was A&E's Live PD. He has his own podcast, Cocktails and Cocktails, and now he's back every Friday and Saturday night on the Reels Network with the shows On Patrol First Shift, and the number one most watched show on cable, On Patrol Live. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Sean Sticks Larkin.
Hey Sticks, how you been, brother?
Good morning, buddy. How are you doing?
Good. Listen, congratulations, man. What a wonderful, triumphant comeback.
Oh, man. I want to say that, here's what I'll say. Thank you very much, first of all. I think everybody working on the show anticipated it doing well. We just didn't think so from week one right away that it would just put up the ratings that it's doing. So we're very, very happy.
Yeah. Well, listen, it is very hard to get lightning in a bottle, and people move on and moments and things in life change. It's everybody wants a hit TV show, and it just doesn't always happen that way. So why knew they took the other show off way too early? You just, to me, you know, switching networks, anything can be weird. Who you go up against, the moment in time, or people, you know, did things move on, or is there another thing that people want in reality television, another kind of specific genre? And at the end, you always come back to the one formula. Good is good. Entertainment is entertainment. And messages, when they're clear and they're truthful, they always cut through.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, you hit the hammer right on the nail there. I mean, people, listen, here's what I keep saying to everybody is, you know, the last 2 to 3 years, you know, some of the most talked about things in the media have been, you know, the difference in the politics between red and blue, COVID, sure, and law enforcement. You know, those are probably the three biggest things, you know, or some of the biggest things that have gone on. And so you have a show like On Patrol Live, which allows people from the comfort of their own home to sit and watch and basically judge for themselves what the men and women are doing across the country, and then actually see the full story of what these guys go through each night.
Yeah, no, and it is the only way you'll ever make people really feel like they know what happens with police officers. And you know, we can make statements, we can see the news, we can read articles, but in the end, you're right. When you're watching it happen live and you see the decisions that have to be made, the humanity that is being shown. And the other thing is, like, you talk about, we're so weird as people. We have this hard divide. Some people, not me so much, but some people are like, I'm either like this and I'm against them. And then you see, then I watch, you know, I think back to watching shows with you. You were, for lack of a better term, reaching across the aisle to somebody who had a very different life than you. You are authority. You are law. But you also know that they're still humans and that there's varying degrees of everything. And not everything is black and white, and there's a lot of gray. You had the respect, and I think, I don't know if you'd call it friendship, possibly, of some of these gang guys. You know, you're not there to judge how they got there, or you can't always understand why someone's life led them a certain way. But
yeah, exactly. You know, and you know, the police officer here in America has a lot of discretion. And, you know, we're not out here to make everybody's life miserable. I mean, what we're actually trying to do, especially in some of the communities, is, you know, the areas that's got these, you know, major drug problems or violence that's just plaguing these neighborhoods, we're going after those guys, you know, the guys that are causing that havoc in this area. But just going back to what you were saying, you know, talking about dealing with these gangsters, again, going back to the show On Patrol Live, it allows people to watch this and they see, hey, there's not this adversarial thing between the police and the public, and it doesn't matter what community, doesn't matter the race, doesn't matter the financial status or anything like that. We cut brakes on damn near every single call or car stop we go to in some way, and it just, again, allows people to see that from home.
Yeah, because listen, there's the law and it's very specific, or there's also like the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is what everybody's got to understand. There's certain things that you got to go, hey, this has to come off the street. This is the kind of person we can't have out there. Some things are just byproducts of a bad situation. And those are the things I always think, man, you know, is that the most important thing, or is it the guy doing the drugs, or is it the guy selling the drugs? And you got to get the guy selling, right? Because then it eliminates the guy doing it.
Right, exactly. Well, and again, I just kind of keep rehearsing it. When people are watching that show, and that's the beauty of us being in 8 different police departments across the country, you see how different things are from department to department and even just officer to officer. So, you know, the conversation that people get to have at home is, sure, there's one agency where they might, you know, constantly arrest the drug user, and that opens up that discussion. Hey, is this the best thing, you know, the department's resources could be used for? Could they be used for going after that guy that's out there selling the dope?
Yeah.
And so forth.
Yeah. No, and it's so many great discussions. And I'm so happy to watch this new show, man. By the way, if you guys don't know this, On Patrol Live, Friday, Saturdays, 8 o'clock, Kansas City time on Reels, R-E-E-L-Z. Almost all of us have it on our networks. And it jumped instantly to the number one show on cable. And how'd the network react to that, by the way?
You know, listen, Reels is a much smaller cable channel than some of the other ones that are out there. And if my numbers are correct, I think they're in like 40 million homes across the country, which is, you know, it's a significant amount. But compared to some other cable channels or broadcast TV, I mean, it's very, very small. You know, I told family and friends when the show was coming on, hey, if we're a top 25 show,
yeah,
I think everybody's very happy. And then week one, you come out literally number one for cable TV, both Friday and Saturday. And we're 3 weeks into the show now. It's happened every single week, you know, in that the demo is what matters, the advertising dollars. And I know from the president of Reels, he sent something out, and he said basically in one day they had a show that they put on air that completely changed their network. They went from a show that didn't have one in the top 25 to now having the top one.
Yeah, and so it's pretty wild. He needs to send a check with that. I'll just tell you that right now, Sticks. Because let me, that's on your back, and I'll be the first one to say it. Like, you need to, I know you know that, but I would tell you, I hope you have a great agent, because this is important. I think it's a great show, and I think it's doing a great service for the world, but it is. You only have access to 40 million of the, how many people are in the United States? 300 million?
Like, oh, yeah.
You know? And so if you can pass those guys who have way more people viewing, but you have such a, and I don't know that people always understand the difference between the amount of people viewing and how long you watch, but to do right. it with a 40 million against the 300, it's impossible. It's just goddamn impossible.
Well, and especially for 180 minutes, you know, the show's live for 3 hours, you know, it's just not a 30 minute sitcom that people tune into. It holds, you know, holds that attention for those 3 hours. And I think that's one of the things that's so successful is just the law enforcement genre is, you know, people are just naturally drawn to it. I mean, if you look at the fictional shows that are on television, the movies, the, you know, the true crime series that are out there and so forth. But when you have this live show, those of us on set that are there watching, as well as the people at home, you have no idea what's going to happen. So there's that draw. And listen, every show, it does have its funny moments that, you know, we chuckle at and the public chuckles at. And Twitter is such a huge part of the show because we're live. You know, we're tweeting live back and forth with the viewers, and they're communicating with each other. There's just so many different facets that go into why I think this show is so appealing to people.
Yeah, well, I think we do, in our hearts, want to believe, you know, that we're still good guys with feelings about justice and helping people. And, you know, it's so easy for people in this day and age now to skew the narrative, whether it be on social media, whether it be the news itself, which people have no idea. You're in the business now, so you know as much as anybody that, you know, what people think the news is as a Bible. And I'm like, you don't understand. They're driven by ratings, and they're driven by a board of directors. They have to make money based on advertising. So they're going to feed you whatever they think you will consume the most of. And that is across the board truth. That is across the board left. It's across the board right. And it's just the way it is. Stop complaining. Just know it is. And then think about your life.
Well, it's educate yourself. You know, I mean, I know we're almost even going off of the original topic, but
yeah.
I was at a deal a couple of years ago out in New York City, and it was called History Speaks, and it had a bunch of different, Bush spoke, Clinton spoke, Matthew McConaughey. I mean, it just had a wide range of people that were speaking, and that was one of the things that was brought up was, you know, when the news changed, It just because it became about money.
Right.
And so that's why you've got various networks, various, you know, newspapers and so forth that cater to one side or the other because it's advertising.
That's
it
right.
is money. It, you know, if you look at the news in the 80s and the days of, you know, Brokaw and stuff like that, they delivered the news. They were just like, hey, here it is. It's not the opinion piece that we typically get now. And that is what our news is filled with. But yeah, you do. Watching the show, you get the full story. You get to see, you know, that the layers of the onion peel back of something that's happening, whether it's a car stop or even this past week, there was an officer stopped a car and they had some stolen car batteries in the back seat that happened to be actually just taken in an armed robbery from AutoZone. So the next, you know, the SWAT team's out there trying to get the suspect. And, you know, people get to see the full story of how something so small, so trivial turns into this big caper.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole, but that was, you got it. That was my point, was just, you have this side, it goes, all cops are terrible stormtrooper, heavy-handed,
uh-huh.
you know, and then you have the other side, you go, don't you dare question an officer. I'm like, no, you got to find the middle. You, of course, have to question all authority, because it should be the best of the best. And, of course, this other side, like, they're all bad? You're insane. These are underpaid dudes who are working so hard, and they're taking such risks. And they're doing it. Listen, the only reason you take that job is because you have a certain kind of character and you care. You were built somehow to solve problems. You want to be part of a solution. Now, it doesn't mean that a bad guy doesn't slip through. Listen, I work in radio, and some guys are decent guys. Other guys are terrible dicks. That's just the way it is, Sean. Just, you know, that is it
in every walk of life. I don't, it doesn't matter what your profession. If you're a doctor, I'm sure there's some guys that you think are just, pricks that shouldn't be doctors and so forth. And it happens in the law enforcement profession as well, for sure.
Let's talk about the important part. Now that this TV show is back, it's number one across the board on Reels. The dating thing, are you single? What's happening with you?
Man, I am actually a married man. So,
what have you done?
Yep. Yeah, thank you. I got married back in January. So, after Live PD went off the air, it was the first time in 3.5 years I wasn't, on the road every week traveling back to New York. And, life kind of settled down, and I was back in Tulsa just working full-time as a police officer and met a wonderful woman and dated for, almost 2 years, and then got married this past January.
Good for you. What, is she a civilian? What does she do?
Yeah, she's a civilian, man. She's just, her family's heavily involved in philanthropy.
Very good. I know you want to keep it private, but I was just getting a feel for what she does with her life as well.
Yep. So yeah, she's a wonderful, wonderful woman. Very fortunate. So
good for you, man.
I had a good few years of being single.
Can you imagine though? She's now going to see this for the first time. This phenomena of a TV show like this, and what it's going to mean. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, no, it is. And she's been traveling with me, and back and forth, and. I met her after the show, so she had no idea, what all it will entail. And we're just getting started. And that's what I tell her. I was like, it gets busy. Be ready. But so far, so good.
Dude, I love that. I love that she was the girl you fell in love with between the big deals, the big stardom television, everything that goes along with it. And saw you for you. And now she gets to take that ride with you again. That's pretty magnificent.
Thank you, sir. Like I said, man, I'm just a regular dude that's gotten very, very lucky as far as this TV stuff. So definitely, I appreciate it.
Dude, it's a good message. It's a great show. Don't forget, everybody, on Reels, Fridays, Saturdays, it's On Patrol Live. Styx is back. And you know the deal, man. You get to Kansas City, the door's always open. It's dinner, whatever, man.
Likewise, I know you come down to that music festival here in Pryor, Oklahoma.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I work on weekends now. I think our first weekend off is Christmas. So I think that's our first weekend off. But if you come down, man, I don't know if I'll be here, but we'll hook up some point.
All right, brother. Take care, my friends. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kyle Petty in a few minutes. He's got a new book called Swerve or Die. And, I always consider myself to be a bit of stuff I'm interested in, getting into the history of it, digging in a little.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's so much I didn't know about that four generations of racing with the Pettys, with Lee Petty to Richard Petty to Kyle Petty to his son Adam. And just the background of it, and how it started. And you know, we think of the Petty family, we just think bazillionaires.
Right. Champions.
Dude, when he was a kid, dude, that was barely holding on. That was $3,000 wins, you know, his father, Richard, right. You know, Richard, and then his grandfather, Lee, who was back in the, you know, those were just bootlegger booze days, rum runners, man.
Lee sounds like a whole thing in himself.
There's a story in there about Kyle Petty's father, Richard Petty, the king. The king got his first cup series race, first win. His dad walked up and said, "No, you goddamn didn't," and filed a complaint.
That alone.
And took the win away from his own son.
Jesus.
In front of God and everybody. His wife at the time wouldn't even talk to him. This is Lee Petty. And what had happened was when they all got in the pit, he had lapped his son, not once, but twice. And he called it. He filed the formal. He took the check, mm-hmm. took the win, took the trophy, and drove his ass on home. And it was a real, it wasn't like a little side deal.
No.
Like a little local racetrack. It was a real race. And it was his son's first one. And he's like, that's not how you learn to win. Now, why that is true.
Yeah.
And you want to make someone hard.
Yeah.
God damn. In a world of participation trophies, you know, and making sure your kid feels good about everything, you literally waited until he was an adult, had 50, 60 races, got his first one, snatched it right out, and you did it in front of people.
Like, that teachable moment was an ass whip.
You know what? And he went on to become the king.
Yeah.
It's a great story, man. I'm going to get Kyle on right away, man. Hey, I'm going to skip the intro to Jake just this time. Sorry, Greg. I don't want to lose any time with Kyle. Hey, Kyle. Welcome back, man. How are you?
Great, man. Great. Thank you guys for having me again. I appreciate it.
Hey, brother. I got to tell you, I was just telling, I thought this, I was pretty up on most history of things I enjoy. There's so many great stories in this book I have never heard before. Things I never knew that I was like, God dang. It's a great book.
Thank you very much, man. Listen. The funny part is, or the sad, I don't know if it's the funny or the sad part is, I lived all that. That is the thing. You know, Dale Jr. and I, we were talking, and he's like, man, you really are some walking history when you start talking about it. And it is. My dad's walking history.
Sure.
But I kind of fill in some of the blanks there.
Yeah, but I mean, that generational from Lee to your dad, Richard, of course, to you, Kyle, and your son, Adam, and you go... You go, wow, that four generations, and there's so many wonderful stories, hard stories. I had no idea. And it starts, the book starts, of course, you're very, very young, and everything that you're into, from breaking bones, riding motorcycles, to, you know, riding in the dark and getting clipped by a telephone wire. You know, I mean, to the fact that, well, I mean, let's start real young. You were just a baby. The day your mother, who is, by all accounts, a very tough lady, she comes out of the delivery room with a black eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And listen, and that's not family story, family legend. We've got pictures of it. Supposedly she had a female doctor in the delivery room with her. And she was screaming, and the doctor told her she was going to have to quieten down a little bit. And, you know, this is 1960. And, finally the doctor just gets tired of it and just punches her in the face and knocks her out. And, then she delivers the baby and that's it. So she comes out with a black eye. She comes out with a black eye and comes home with a baby. And I guess that's how they delivered babies in 1960. I don't know.
It's just, but it's so real. The fact that, you know, when your father, what was his first big cup race? He's in the winner's circle, and his father, Lee, your grandfather, walked up and said, "No, you did not win this race," and it was his first big win.
Yeah, that was about money. That was about money. My, you know, and you read the story. The company itself made more money if my grandfather won the race that day than if my father did. And in actuality, my grandfather did win the race, and my grandfather was that way. He was always. And he said it, you know, I want him to win a race, but I don't want to give it to him. And my grandfather used to tell us all the time, nobody's going to give you anything in life. And if they do give you something, it's just because they didn't want it and it's not worth anything in the first place.
That's right.
So that's always the way he kind of looked at it. And we grew up with that mantra, I guess. And it shows that was his words put into action. He was not going to give Richard Petty a race.
And The thing that struck me, many things, was A, it clearly works. Look at the rest. Look at the lineage. Look at your ability. Look at the greatness that comes out of the Petty family. And the other thing is, in this world of participation trophy children, that they all got to feel good at the end of their competition. Dude, when your dad and you're an adult, literally goes, no. And he was right. He had lapped him when he was in the pit and took it. And even though, of course, he loved your father, but he knew for sure you got to learn, you got to know, and you got to take it yourself. This is going to come back to you, even if this is a hard moment. And I'm sure for your grandpa, he didn't want his wife, your grandma, to be super mad at him all the way home.
No. Listen, he didn't, but she was for a long time. Hold on, you have to know my grandma too. I'll tell you a quick story here. He used to like there's chicken fighting and gamecocks are big in North Carolina, South Carolina. My granddad used to go and he'd gamble on them. So there was a raid and they got busted in Roanoke, Virginia, back in the early 50s. And he called my grandma on the phone. And he told her, he said, Elizabeth, I need you to come to Roanoke, which was about 80, 90 miles. He said, I need you to come to Roanoke and bring $100. Or I'm going to have to spend 3 or 4 days up here in jail. And she said, well, I'll see you in 3 or 4 days. And that was the end of the conversation. She hung up the phone and he called back. And she wouldn't answer the phone. She was not going to spend $100 to get him out. The point is, everything my granddad did and everything my grandma did, because they came through the Depression, was to make a buck. It was all about getting ahead and putting food on the table. And that's the big deal. They knew the times could be hard and they had lived through them, and they wanted you to have that work ethic to always be willing to work for something.
Kyle, if you're just joining the show, the great Kyle Petty's with us. And to your grandma, you know, you talk about May 9th, 1970, Darlington, it was your dad. He a terrible wreck. Terrible. They used to run in a Wild World of Sports. He'd hit a wall, and then when he came back, they didn't know if it was a ball joint or what it was, but the car, he just lost it, and it just, five or six hard full-speed flips?
Yeah, tore the wall down on the front stretch. He'd already wrecked once that week in another car, so that was a backup car, and just rolled it down the front stretch. And at that time, they didn't have the window nets, and he slung out the side, so every time the car would rotate and do a pirouette, he would be hanging out of the car. And when it finally stopped, he was half in and half out. And, I mean, it's a scary crash. When you Google it or watch it on YouTube,
terrible.
It's a scary looking crash. But my grandma, she looked at it, not a mechanic, just been around racing her whole life and not a mechanic. And she looked at it and she thought, well, that's never going to happen again. And she took one of their old race uniforms and cut it up and made a window net. And the next week when he showed up at the racetrack, she had a net on the window to keep him in the car. If that happened again, because that was her little boy, and it wasn't but about a month after that, NASCAR mandated window nets for all race cars to keep the drivers inside the cars. And it's just my grandmother sitting at home watching her on TV came up with the idea. And that window net is in the Hall of Fame. My granddad's in the Hall of Fame. My dad's in the Hall of Fame. My Uncle Maurice is in the Hall of Fame. And my grandmother's window net is in the Hall of Fame here in Charlotte. At the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Listen, Kyle, I know we have short time. I'm only to page 55. I read the book cover to cover last night because I loved it so much. We got to get some more time because there's so many incredible stories. And I don't want to give anything away, but I was reading the story about your son and just his resting place. I mean, I was tore up last night reading that. I mean, like tears in your eyes tore up. I'd love to get you back on and really go through this because I think what an amazing family. What a great story for people to hear. It really is a great, great story.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And I'll set something up and I'll call you back. Listen, we can make a mini series out of this. We'll just do it once. We'll do it 5 minutes a day until we get through the book if you want to. I say this because I'm honestly, Kansas City. Is part of our life with Sprint. That was that's who Adam's sponsor was. We spent a lot of time there. He spent a lot of time there, and it's just a special place to go back to, always to come back to, because there's so many memories of me with him and him with me and him doing stuff out there. So thank you guys for having us, man. I just appreciate you helping me sell this book, because I mean it came from the heart. Some of it was tough. It was tough writing about Adam. It was tough reading it out loud and doing the audio book. I will tell you that. But it's just It's just life sometimes, man. You just keep going. You just swerve or die. That's the way it is. You just keep going.
That's fact. Listen, we would definitely back on it. So good to hear your voice. Congratulations on the book. It's a beautiful story. And listen, I'll let you go. You have a great day, my friend. I'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, guys. Take care,
Thank you, Colin. Okay, I know we only had a little time.
No, that's great. Circle back around. He's hilarious.
The book is so good. It's so good, dude.
Luckily, I was able to get to him at the beginning and I got some information. We'll get him. If I don't get him tomorrow, I'll get him right when we get back.
Because doing your job.
Do your job.
Do your job. Yeah.
But, I mean, they were such pragmatic, focused human beings in such a dangerous world that was changing so very fast. The cars were changing. Right in the middle, they were changing, wheelbases, and they went to the small cars, and the engines were getting bigger, and the speeds were getting faster, and the rules were just happening, and everything from the first time he decided to cheat when he got his own car and came on and was his own man in his early 20s, and they cut 350 pounds out of their 375, I think, maybe, out of the car. And just the way they did it, and then he realized they didn't think it all the way through. If you're top five, you're going to end up going back to inspection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at the guy, and the car's got to weigh, I think, 3350 or something. Or 3750, or 37, it was going to end up running 3350.
And it's all kinds of oopsie doodles.
He had to go, let me tell you something right now. Because he knew if it happened in front of the whole garage,
mm-hmm.
it was going to be a much different experience. And we'll talk about that too, because what he did, he just goes, it's going to come up 350 pounds short. And the guy just keeps going, he goes, I'm telling you, we're going to come up. I apologize, but we're going to come up three. And he stopped waiting, he goes, let me talk to you in the office. Took him into the office, and he goes, I appreciate you not creating that situation outside. Now, let's talk about what you did. And what they had done was, they obviously knew 6,000 horsepower car, or whatever it is, whatever the horse was at the time, 600, whatever it is. If you have to propel a 3,700-pound car, it's going to go this speed. And if you're doing a 3,300-pound car, it's going to go faster.
Yeah.
It's just that easy. So they would put lead. They had a 45-pound helmet they created. They had goggle boxes that were just filled with lead. They had gloves and this other stuff.
Oh, my God.
And so when you'd go through inspection, your stuff would be in your car. Mm-hmm. It would weigh. And then when it would come out of inspection, that stuff would get thrown into a mechanics box. And off you would go for your race.
Genius.
But they worked that hard on it, and they didn't think, oh, they're going to look at us again after the race. By the way, the guy goes, all right, I'm going to be so hard on you from this day forward. You still have the win. And they walked him through it. But this is a different day. This is a long time ago. But he goes, you were straight. You didn't cause trouble. And you realized what you'd done. Okay, but I promise you, I'm going to be so far up your ass from this point. And nothing ever was said again. He got it. Like,
that guy is,
it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
No, this, I have to say, for somebody that doesn't know anything about NASCAR, I think I could read the book and be lost in it. Like, there's so much.
It's about family and trying and being scared and coming through it anyway and being expected. And what is love and what is teaching a kid what? And it doesn't come across as anything other than you're just absorbed in the book. I mean, I'm telling you, I read it cover to cover because I in no way wanted to put the thing down. It is a really good book called Swerve or Die by Kyle Petty. We'll get him back on again. Stay right there, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.